Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. It is September the 29th, 2022. So happy to be with you. You can call me right now, 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888, toll-free. Love it. 888-914-9149. The best things in life really are free. And you can also email the show, also free, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. I'm so excited about this show. Man, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about heroes, heavenly and earthly. Heavenly heroes and home run hitters. You know, last night, Aaron Judge really put the gavel down. He tied Roger Maris's storied record of 61 home runs. Right here in Toronto, where I live, where another beautiful moment happened earlier this season. Remember that viral moment where a Blue Jays fan caught an Aaron Judge home run? One of his many this season, and gave it to a young Yankees fan. They embraced, they cried, it went viral, it was amazing. There's a backstory to that that's almost better than that moment. I'm going to be sharing that with you later, but first, it is the Feast of the Archangels. St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael. It's an incredible feast day, so we're going to cover that too. We're going to cover all the bases today on the Cale Clark Show, but you're going to want to grab a vine right now, call in 888-914-9149. I feel like we need to say the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. Why not? It used to be, actually, believe it or not, today used to be just the feast day of St. Michael, but after the liturgical reforms of Vatican II, it became the feast of all the archangels. But let's say the St. Michael prayer together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us on this day of battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I remember a few years ago when there seemed to be kind of an, I guess you could say, an angel mania in the culture. There was just, for a while, there's sort of a mania about angels, all these books about angels being written. A lot of it was kind of new agey stuff. Some of it was good. There was, of course, the hit TV series Touched by an Angel, starring Roma Downey, who's a friend of the program. Roma's been on the show before. She's a fantastic person. And we had an amazing conversation with her way back. But these days, I don't know. I feel like there's been a bit of a slide away from this interest in angels. People are, I don't know, they're into technology. People are relying more on science and technology than on the supernatural world, especially the archangels, our guardian angels. And we become sort of less connected, I think, because of that. But part of the job of the angels is to connect us with God and with one another. So I want to talk about the archangels, because I think it's really important for us to know a little bit more about them. And if we have time permitting, I'll try to answer the question, which a lot of people have. How many archangels are there? Are there more than three? Because there are some writings out there that suggest that there might be as many as seven archangels. So I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that, hopefully, time permitting, later on. But let's talk about the role of the archangels. And I heard a great meditation on this. It's kind of a almost like a, not really a sermon, it's really sort of an aid to personal prayer, a little talk that was given by Father Javier del Castillo, who's actually a friend of Father Rocky's, and it was all about the archangels. And I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful meditation, really helped me to pray about this, and I wrote down a lot of notes. And I wanted to share some of this with you because it was just so profound. And I just think it's really interesting, too, because we've got this day, September the 29th, Feast of the Archangels, and then just a couple of days from now, on October the 2nd, we would normally be celebrating the feast day of the guardian angels, the holy guardian angels, and every one of us has one. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But that's going to be superseded this year, of course, because it falls on a Sunday. But as far as today's feast of the archangels, we do have one of the optional readings for today's Mass actually is about St. Michael. And one of the three places where you can find some stuff about St. Michael in the Bible is in the book of Revelation. The other two places are the letter of Jude, that's an interesting one, maybe we can talk about that later as well, and also in the Old Testament book of Daniel. We did a series on the book of Daniel for the Faith Explained some time ago. I really enjoy that book. It's an amazing book. But here's what it says in Revelation about him. It says, there was a battle in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon. Who's the dragon? Of course, that's the Satan. And the dragon fought with his angels, but they did not prevail. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who leads astray the whole world. So that was part of the job of St. Michael the Archangel, to kick Satan, who used to be called Lucifer, this very glorious angel, became a fallen angel through his pride, became a demon. Now, even all the demons, it's good for us to know that the demons were originally created to be good as well. They were good angels who became evil by rebelling against God, essentially saying what Satan himself said, which was non servium, you know, I will not serve. I will not serve. We have to avoid that. And he wants to tempt everybody else to do that as well. And so that was part of the task of St. Michael the Archangel. And we could really talk about, I'm going to just skip over a couple things, but I wanted to say that the function of the angels in general, and the archangels in particular, is to help to bring the message of God to humanity, but also to help bring us back to God, And we have to thank them. We really have to thank them for doing this for us, because they've given us, and this is something that Father Del Castillo talked about in his meditation, they've done us so many services. Not only the big ticket items like, you know, casting Satan out and fighting against him, yeah, but also even our own guardian angels and our personal lives. There have been so many things that they've done for us that we are no doubt unaware of. Some of the things we might be aware of, but they've done so many things for us, most of which we will find out. We will not find out until the other side, until, Lord willing, we're in heaven together. I can kind of explain, hey, by the way, I kind of saved you from this jam. You don't know this, but our personal story of getting back to God, you know, from conception back to Christ, you know, in heaven. That's what it's all about. And so one of the specific things with respect to St. Michael, we'll talk about St. Gabriel and St. Raphael in just a second, but one of the specific things we can ask St. Michael to do for us is to help us where we're tempted, where the devil might trip us up in particular. And each one of us has our own particular area of weakness, these so-called besetting sins, traps that we tend to fall into time and time again. For you, it might be different than for somebody else. And we need to work on that, obviously, and God can help us that with that. And so can St. Michael. We can invoke him, especially when we're tempted to really things that the devil does himself and wants us to get involved with, the sin of pride, envy. Now, here's one thing that the Bible does tell us about the devil. In the Book of Wisdom, it says that it was out of envy that the devil wanted to essentially trip up Adam and Eve, cause them to disobey God. He just could not believe that God loved humans so much, so very much. So we need to ask for the intercession of St. Michael at all times, and especially when we're tempted to kind of be selfish, tempted to not want to serve, not want to give of ourselves, that's when we can really ask him for strength. So this is what the angels do. They help us to serve God. They want to give all the glory to God. And this is all over. We see this all over the New Testament, not just the archangels, but all angels. Think about the multitude of angels that arrived in Luke's gospel. A multitude of the heavenly host, it says, were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. And so the angels helped Jesus too. We know that. He's tempted in the wilderness. When he's finished the temptation, what does it say? The scripture says that angels attended to him. Angels, the devil left him, and angels attended to him. And then, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's sweating these great drops of blood. And that's an actual medical condition that can happen, by the way. When people are under great stress, their capillaries can kind of burst, and it looks like your sweat is mixed with blood. It looks like you're sweating blood. So I'm not ready to say that that's some sort of an exaggeration by the scriptural writer when it talks about Jesus sweating blood in his passion. And an angel, of course, appears to him, helps him, consoles him before he has to drink that bitter chalice of the passion. Then, of course, the resurrection, Easter, on Easter Sunday morning. It's angels announcing to the women going to the tomb that he is risen. That good news, that really good news of the resurrection. And so happens in the life of the church as well, as the mystical body of Christ gets going in the age of the apostles. When we read the Acts of the Apostles, how many times do angels step in? And so, some of it's actually hilarious. It's like almost like comic relief. Peter gets busted out of prison by an angel. He's going to be killed. He's on trial for his life. He gets busted out of prison in the Acts of the Apostles. And he finds where all the believers are hanging out, and he knocks on the door. The angel does a prison break. He gets out. He goes and knocks on the door. And this servant girl named Rhoda opens the door, and then she kind of closes it again. Like, no, that can't really be him. He's either supposed to be in prison or dead by now. What's going on here? And she's like, I think it's his angel outside, his guardian angel. It's got to be his guardian angel. And that's kind of interesting, too, because it seems like even the earliest Christians believed in personal guardian angels. This is something that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18. He said, Matthew chapter 18, I tell you the truth, they're angels. Don't despise these little ones, because their angels always see the face of our Father in heaven. Incredible. So anyways, they're like, no, it's actually Peter. Open the door. It's actually him. He kept on knocking. Guys, it's really me. Are you going to open up? So it's really funny. And speaking of comic relief, we've got to talk a little bit about Saint Raphael. And he's mentioned, of course, in the Old Testament book of Tobit. Now, some non-Catholic Christians, they don't consider the book of Tobit to be scripture. They call that part of what's known as the Apocrypha, quote unquote. But we as Catholics say, no, this is part of the Old Testament. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. This is kind of comical because Tobit, as you know in the book, if you've read it, he kind of goes blind. It's kind of bizarre because bird droppings got into his eyes. Now, that sounds pretty bad. Now, it's really bad when it happens to your car or something like that, but and maybe it's happened to you. Maybe a seagull passes by and you've got something on your jacket, but in your eyes, man. Anyways, St. Raphael kind of heals him with this fish oil, He catches these fish and he heals Tobit with the oil from this fish. And so, hey, we know that fish oil is good for us, right? All these omega-3s. Well, there's another use, I guess. But at any rate, the name Raphael means the medicine of God or the healing of God. And one of the ways, and this is amazing, I read this homily by Pope Benedict when he gave this incredible teaching on the archangels in one of his many homilies when he was on the throne of St. Peter. Pope Benedict talked about the archangels, and he said that one of the things that St. Raphael heals is the institution of marriage. And this is something that obviously needs a lot of healing in the culture today, doesn't it? I mean, there's so much confusion, there's so much harm and sin that revolves around marriage and human sexuality. And so what happens is when Tobias, you know, the book of Tobit, he marries this woman named Sarah. He's a little bit hesitant to do so, obviously, because there have been seven other guys that have tried to marry her, and they actually did marry her, but on their wedding night, Well, this demon named Asmodeus shows up and kills the husband. So this has happened, you know, before several times. And so you can kind of not blame Tobias for saying, I'm not sure I want to go through with this. I'm not sure I want to marry this chick because the last few guys, it didn't really work out too well. But then the angel Raphael says to him, do not be afraid to take Sarah as your wife, for she was destined for you from all eternity. What a beautiful verse that is. What a beautiful verse about, hey, you're not just called to marriage in the general. We're not just called to love in the general. If you're called to marriage, you're called to marry a specific person. And God has kind of foreseen this from all eternity. And so he goes ahead with it and everything's fine. He prays this beautiful prayer on their wedding night. He says, I don't take my sister out of any lustful motive. I want to give of myself pure. And so this is what we need. And so we need to invoke, I think, Raphael in many ways for all the marriages in the world, for the institution of marriage, and for just a right understanding of human relations on that front. And so that's really important. And also another thing that, just getting back to St. Michael for a second, one of the things that St. Michael is often known for is people will invoke St. Michael when praying, especially for priests and bishops of the church, for even the Pope. And just a few minutes ago, before I came on the air on the Drew Mariani Show, Bishop Frank DeWayne in from Florida, he was literally in the eye of Hurricane Ian in Venice in Florida. And I've been in that diocese before, and it was great to hear from a bishop of the church, and we need to pray for all the devastation that's happened there. And early reports are not too much in terms of, you know, thanks be to God, the loss of life has been minimized. We know at least one person has died. Maybe many more will be reported, but let's hope not. But at any rate, St. Michael is often called upon when praying for priests, because part of the job of the priest or the bishop is to teach God's people the truth. So they need to be fortified in that, because there are all kinds of lies of the enemy, of the Satan, in the culture. Don't forget, Jesus said that the devil is, in fact, the father of lies, the father of lies. So that battle that St. Michael has against the devil, that really is at the forefront of teaching, of right teaching. So Father Del Castillo said, we've got to dispel this sort of demon of ignorance in the culture. We've got to be able to teach people the truth about God, the truth about themselves, about what they need to do to come back to God, and God will work miracles. And so here's another thing that happens, and this is something that St. Jose Maria Escrivá talked about. He talked about what he called the dumb devil that afflicts people. This isn't some sort of a possession case or anything like that. This is just this idea that you don't want to say the truth. The devil, the tongue-tied devil, he wants to tie up your tongue so that you don't confess your sins and don't confess the truth about who you are, so that you can come back to God, be reconciled with him. A lot of people, they don't want to do that in spiritual direction. They're kind of playing defense. They don't want to be seen in a bad light, so they won't say something to their spiritual director or even their confessor. They're trying to hide embarrassing things. That is not the way. We've got to be upfront. We've got to let ourselves be known, so we can be healed. Just like when we go to the doctor, we have to tell them what's actually wrong with us. And so we need God's grace to be able to do that. So those are a couple things that we can think about when we're thinking about St. Michael, this battle against falsehoods, this battle against lies. And of course, St. Raphael is great when it comes to relationships. We can invoke him if we know somebody who's in a tough situation in terms of their marriage. But what about St. Gabriel? What about this other archangel? And I know some people say there may be as many as seven. We'll maybe talk about that in a bit. But what about St. Gabriel? What's his main work? What does he do? And how can we kind of get in better touch with him? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. And don't forget, an incredible story about Aaron Judge, home run number 61, and a Toronto connection that's just absolutely touching. We'll have that and much more coming up later in the show. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. We will be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. Studio line to talk to me. We're talking about the Archangels. And later on, we'll talk about the momentous events from last night with Aaron Judge hitting home run number 61 with his mom in the house. It happened in Toronto against the Blue Jays. And Roger Maris's son was also on hand, too. Beautiful moment. But let's go to the phones right now. Maria is on the line in Wisconsin. Hi, Maria.
Yes, hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Oh, is this Cale?
This is. Yes, you're on the air with me. You're live. You're on the air.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. I love your show. I make sure I listen to it. I'm so fortunate to call in. Today it's my birthday. Of course, St. Michael is my patron saint. And so I had a wonderful time today, went to church, everything, the whole thing. And so what I want to know is, I've always wondered about this. Can I claim St. Michael as my guardian angel? Because throughout my life, he has saved me. He literally saved me. And I also believe that he appeared to me when I was about 6 years old. So, I just believe he is my guardian angel.
Well, Maria, first of all, thank you for your very kind words about the show. I'm glad that you listened to it, and I'm really happy to share part of your birthday with you. Happy birthday. I'll say a little prayer for you, Maria, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And in terms of the question of, can you claim St. Michael as your guardian angel? Well, I certainly think you can invoke him as a special protector, and obviously you do that already, and you were born on his feast day today, so I think that there's certainly nothing wrong with that. I think God certainly has given you, though, your own guardian angel, too, and it's interesting because I might talk about this. The church has actually discourage people from trying to name their own guardian angels. A lot of people try to do that, but whoever your guardian angel may be, hopefully in heaven, your angel will reveal the name to you. But having said that, I don't think there's any reason why you can't invoke St. Michael all the time, but also your own guardian angel. I think it's important that we develop a relationship and call our own guardian angel for help too. And by the way, I do this all the time for my daughter, Michaela, because that's where her name comes from, of course, St. Michael the Archangel. So she's Michaela. And I'll talk a little bit about what that name means, too, in just a second. But I would say, hey, take advantage of the fact that you can do both. You can ask St. Michael to help you and pray for you, and certainly your own guardian angel as well. But thank you very much for your call, Maria, and happy birthday to you. That is fantastic. And hey, well, let's let me just get back to the other guardian angel that I didn't talk about, which is, of course, Gabriel. And the name Gabriel, of course, means the fortitude of God or the strength of God. And I think, as we talked before the break about how St. Michael is often invoked specifically, I mean, anybody can invoke him, but very often we ask him to intercede, especially for priests and teachers, because of this fight against the devil, who's the father of lies. We want to root out false teaching as much as possible. And really, a big work of the clergy is to, as St. Paul says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So they through their teaching and through dispensing the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, kind of fortifies the people of God so that we can go out and reach the world for Christ. And this is kind of where St. Gabriel comes in, of course, because Gabriel is super involved with the Holy Family, Now, Mary, of course, that famous scene of the incarnation. We celebrate this, of course, on March the 25th, 9 months before Christmas, the Annunciation, where she encounters Gabriel. And most times when people encounter an angel, they freak out because of maybe the form the angel takes. They, in scripture, they're always terrified. And so don't be afraid is always the word. Fear not. And so what happens when we've got Gabriel? Gabriel announces the incarnation, how God is going to bridge heaven and earth. God will become man in the incarnation. And so this is important. This is really important. And Mary, of course, raised Jesus in the context of the Holy Family, along with Joseph. And very often people will invoke Gabriel when praying for families, praying for people who are living in the middle of the world, because we all need that strength of God. We all need that fortitude of God. That's one thing that Father Javier del Castillo said in his little meditation that I heard about the archangels, that for people who are living in the middle of the world, we need that fortitude of God to be witnesses to God and His truth. The clergy, there are places that we can go as lay people that the clergy can't go. I mean, you can't bring your priest to work most days. There's not a bring your bishop to work day at most offices, or bring your priest to work. But we are there, and we are perhaps the only Christ that anyone will ever know. We are little Christ, we are Christians. And so that's really the role of the laity, to reach the world. And so the clergy has to equip the laity, and the laity has to go out and evangelize the world. And so that's what we kind of have to do. We have to be like St. Gabriel the Archangel and sort of announce that reality of God, the incarnate God. And we have to incarnate that message as well. We have to live it out. And one thing that Father Del Castillo said is that Jesus, no doubt, looked like Mary, because he had no human father. I mean, his human DNA all came from her. So he looked like her, probably picked up on some of her mannerisms. And in her interior features, she resembled him in her holiness. And on the outside, though, Jesus looked maybe a lot more like her. So no question he did. So this is what we have to do. We have to sort of look like Jesus. That's the point. We have to be another Christ. We have to be an alter Christus out there in the culture. Reach people. That's what it's all about. And that's really some stray thoughts on the feast day of the archangels. And so, yeah, we have to ask Mary to help us there too, because she's the queen of angels, right? So she can help us to do all of these things. So, all right, let's go now to a question that a lot of people ask. How many archangels, in fact, are there? How many are there out there in reality? Well, we got to be a little bit careful about this, because the Bible itself doesn't say a whole lot about the archangels, other than we know, of course, the three that are mentioned. They are mentioned in Scripture, but there is talk of as many as seven archangels. Now, this does not come from the Bible. You might have heard about this. It actually comes from a couple of places. The Book of Enoch. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Book of Enoch. It's an ancient Jewish writing. It was super, super popular. Even in the early church, it was super, super popular, but it was never accepted into the biblical canon. It was never accepted into the Old Testament. So in that book, it talks about seven archangels: Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, we know those. But then it talks about Uriel, Raguel, Phanuel, and Sariel. So for what it's worth, that's in an ancient Jewish writing, but it is not scripture. So we have to be super, super careful. And a lot of Catholics have even kind of developed personal devotions to these other archangels. The church actually warns about that. The church has actually warned people about that. There's something called the Directory on Popular Piety. The directory, it's almost like something like a phone book or something. It sounds like a Directory on Popular Piety, and you can look this up. And it actually says, quote, "The practice of assigning names to the holy angels should be discouraged." This is what I mentioned earlier. A lot of people want to name their guardian angel. "The practice of assigning names to the holy angels should be discouraged, except in the cases of Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael, whose names are contained in Holy Scripture." So We only know definitively about the three archangels, Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael, because they're in the scriptures, they're in the Bible. So that's for certain. So I think we have to kind of be really, really careful and just kind of not really get into the other potential archangels. If they are there, great. But we don't need to worry about that. There are, of course, there are multitudes of angels. I mentioned that in Luke chapter 2 at the birth of Christ, the multitudes of angels do show up. But we should really just kind of focus on the ones that we know and our own personal guardian angel and not necessarily develop big systems of devotions to hypothetical angels, let's say. Maybe they're real, maybe they're not. But anyways, that's it. Now, these names, by the way, you'll notice also, as I mentioned earlier, El is in the name. The name of God is in each one of their names. El is one of the Hebrew names for God. So anytime you see that in the Bible, Michael, Raphael, there's, of course, Yahweh. We're going to be talking about that real soon, of course, on the Faith Explained show as we're going through the book of Exodus. When Moses encounters God at the burning bush, he reveals himself. He says, Yahweh, my name is Yahweh. I am who I am, Yahweh. All right, so very mysterious. But that's why even the name Elijah, it actually has both of those names of God in the name. That's pretty amazing. So Elijah has El, think about it. It also has Yahweh because Yah or Elijah, it's pronounced Yah in Hebrew. Elijah means El is my God. El is my Yahweh. God, the one true God is my God, essentially. So how about that? How about that? I bet you didn't know that. So let's go to the phones right now. Nicholas is calling from California. Hi, Nicholas.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question, or perhaps more of a comment.
Okay.
I've heard that St. Michael also has the role of the one who brings the prayers of the Catholic people up to God. And I was wondering if you were familiar with that role that he has. I heard someone say that it somehow relates to how he's mentioned in the old Mass, the traditional Latin Mass.
Okay. That's something I'm not super familiar with the rubrics of the traditional Latin Mass or even the texts of the Mass. So I can't really comment on that, whether that's an ancient tradition of the Church. So interesting. I'll have to Google that later and check that out. But certainly, this is the whole reason for incense in liturgy, right? The incense is mentioned in Scripture, and it's a symbol of our prayers going up to God. And the bowls of incense in the Book of Revelation are mentioned, the sweet fragrance of the prayers of the people of God. We see that in the Bible. So that's what it's all about. And we do need to really draw upon the great, great texts that we do have in Scripture that mention these archangels. I just want to, one thing I wanted to say. Now, Revelation, yeah, you know about that. The Book of Daniel, you know about that. That one other spot in the Bible that mentions St. Michael is in the letter of Jude. I just want to talk about this really quickly because Jude is so short, it doesn't even have chapters. It just has verses. It's a really, really short letter. And when you read it, it does talk about Michael. And here's what it says. This is from the letter of Jude, and it is, I'm just going to look it up. It talks about false teachers. It's actually a pretty edifying letter. But here it is. In verse 8 and 9, it says, "In the same way, these dreamers, these false teachers, pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael," this is verse 9 of Jude, "when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now, that's interesting because that is not in the Old Testament. That is not in the Old Testament. Where can I find the place where it talks about St. Michael arguing with the devil about the body of Moses? And we know, of course, Moses didn't make it into the promised land because he was disobedient at the end. However, he kind of did because he was there in the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, but that's another story. But this is actually not in the Bible. This is actually in a non-biblical work called the Testament of Moses. And Jude probably knew about this, and he's kind of citing this tradition. So it's kind of an intriguing passage of scripture. And hey, if I was Michael, I'd probably have some choice things to say to the enemy, but he didn't, you know, he didn't curse him out. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you." Wow. So a lot of self-control by St. Michael there. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break here on the Cale Clark Show. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. I've got a beautiful story to share with you right after the break. So hang tight. We'll be right back. And trust me, it's going to be a home run.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
All right, 888-914-9149 is the number to call to reach me on the Cale Clark Show right here on Relevant Radio. Well, last night, right here where I'm broadcasting from in Toronto, history was made. Sadly, it was at the expense of my Blue Jays. But Aaron Judge, that's right, Judge put the gavel down. I'm telling you, he used his gavel, his mighty bat, to swat his 61st home run of the season in the Sky Dome. I refuse to call it the Rogers Center. I will not give in to the corporate whatever. It's the Sky Dome, always, forever. And this is what happened. Here's the call from Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya! He's done it! Number 61! He's been chasing history, and now he makes it! He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history!
See ya! Michael Kay with his signature call for the Yes Network, and a lot of Yankees fans were certainly saying yes when that moment happened. Now, you might have caught this on social media or elsewhere. This is a true story. Apparently, this is true. The guy who almost caught the ball. Now, can you imagine? I mean, this would have been worth a lot of dough. The guy who almost caught the ball. It just was just out of the reach of his glove. And you might have seen this on TV. He tried to catch it. He didn't. It bounded into the Toronto bullpen. The guy who almost caught the ball, apparently his name was Frankie Lasagna. I'm not making this up. Frankie Lasagna did not catch it. And then what did he do? He turned around and threw his glove at his buddy and sort of bounced off of his head. Folks, the jokes pretty much write themselves. And you can imagine some of the comments. I was reading a few of them on Twitter. The ball went past him, Frankie Lasagna. It seems like his glove was a little al dente, a little hard, and not soft enough to catch it. Okay, all right, we could go on. So apparently he's a restaurateur in Toronto, and that's his real name, Frankie Lasagna. So he was despondent. He's become a bit of a social media celebrity because of this. So now a lot of people are going to say, and still a few games left in the regular season, that there's a really good chance, obviously, that Aaron Judge will go past 61st home runs. I think it's a better than average chance, unless they walk him a million times in a row, is what happened in the Blue Jays series until last night. But a lot of people will say that if Judge does go on to hit more than 61, that should be considered the true home run record in Major League Baseball, because it's fairly well established now that Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, who are the only guys who've hit more home runs than now Aaron Judge and Roger Maris in a single baseball season, we're on the juice, we're on the cream, the clear, whatever you want to call it, all kinds of stuff, and those records are not really legitimate. They should certainly come with an asterisk attached. Barry Bonds, when he was 36 years old, by the way, when Barry Bonds was 36, and he didn't need to do all this stuff. He was a Hall of Fame player even before the drugs. When he was 36 years old in 2001, Barry Bonds hit the record, quote-unquote, of 73 homers, and of course, in that famous summer of 1998, Mark McGwire of the St. Louis Cardinals, producer Jim's St. Louis Cardinals, and Sammy Sosa of the Chicago Cubs were dueling. Both of them broke Roger Maris's record that year. And McGwire wound up with 70 home runs. Big Mac did in 1998, and Sosa hit 66. In other years, the very next year, McGwire hit 65. Sosa hit 64 in 2001 and 63 in 1999. And Roger Maris, of course, there was a bit of a, there was always a slight asterisk next to his name, too, because he hit his, I believe he hit his 61st home run. It took him more games than Babe Ruth did. Babe Ruth had the old record of 60, which he hit for the famous 1927 New York Yankees. And Roger Maris hit 61 in 1961. And kind of poetically, 61 years later, last night, Aaron Judge himself hit number 61. But there's another viral moment that also happened in a Yankees game in Toronto earlier this year, and we talked about it back in May. There was an incredibly beautiful moment when a Blue Jays fan caught an Aaron Judge home run ball, one of his 61 that he hit this year, and he handed it to a young Yankees fan who was there. They embraced, they had a hug, and it was one of those just great, happy, feel-good videos that people would send out to their friends saying, hey, if you're having a bad day, you should definitely check this out. So one more time, here's the clip from that night in May.
The other night off Manoa. Early today was quite a battle between the two of them, and Mr. Judge won it. How about that moment, though?
Yeah. Two people who had never met became lifelong friends in that moment. On the home run by Judge, the Blue Jay fan handing the young Yankee fan wearing the Judge shirt the home run ball up in the second deck, and he's not giving that up to anybody. He is clutching that baseball, isn't he?
As the great Dan Shulman, a great announcer who was calling the game, I believe, for TSN that night. Well, Ryan Hockensmith, writing for ESPN, who's just a fantastic writer, has a piece up, and you can check it out over there, about the backstory of that night. Now, as beautiful as that moment was, it almost never happened. In fact, the backstory of this moment was just nuts. Now, the guy who actually caught the ball, the Blue Jays fan, his name was Mike Lanzalotta. And he caught that Aaron Judge home run ball and gave it to this young boy whose name was Derek Rodriguez. Derek was there with his father, Caesar. And it's just incredible. So Hockensmith, in his piece up on ESPN right now, talks about how this thing, this great moment, almost never happened in the first place. And so I just want to tell you what happened. Mike Lanzalotta, who actually caught the ball, he actually works as a theft management specialist for a chain of department stores in the Toronto area. And he was going to the Blue Jays game that night against the Yankees with his friend Nigel Singh. So Nigel Singh and Mike Lanzalotta, they wanted to make sure that they could get to the game on time. So they kind of rushed out of work. They met up outside the stadium. And what they did was they decided to get some, you know, a couple of hot dogs outside at one of those, you know, ballpark Frank vendors that have those carts outside the stadium. And so they did that, and they hustled into the stadium. They tried to grab themselves a beer before they got in. They wanted to get some loony dogs. Now, if you don't know what a loony is a coin. In Canada, they replaced $1 bills several years ago with these coins called loonies. They're gold, and well, not made of real gold, but they have a bird on them, a loon that's like kind of swimming on a lake. That's why they're called loonies. So the Blue Jays sell what are called loony dogs, and they do this several times a season where they'll sell these $1 hot dogs, these loony dogs, and they sell just a ton of them. So Mike Lanzalotta and his friend Nigel Singh, they tried to get some loony dogs. They couldn't because the lineup was way too long, and they're like, forget it. Let's just go to our seats. So they did that, and when they got to their seats, they found that someone else was sitting in their seats. No problem. This happens from time to time. So they said, okay, well, we were supposed to have seats number 3 and number 4 in the outfield section, 200 level, but there are other people there. So, okay, let's just sit in seats 1 and 2. And if anybody shows up to claim those, we'll just kick the other guys out and get to our correct seats. But that never actually happened. The other people never showed up, and that proved to be very providential. So immediately, Mike Lanzalotta noticed that there was this young kid in an Aaron Judge jersey, wearing a Yankee hat, just cheering his heart out for the Yankees. And he thought, maybe we should talk trash to these guys. We're Blue Jays fans. They decided not to. Instead, Mike Lanzalotta said, hey, kid, I'm going to get you a ball tonight. Everyone's like, yeah, right. But he had done this many, many times before. And here's how he would normally do it. When Mike Lanzalotta was a kid, growing up in Toronto, he went to a Blue Jays game with his grandfather. And when he was 12 years old, they were sitting along the third base line, and a foul ball was coming his way. He leaned over to try to get it, but he was so short, he actually was falling over the railing. His grandfather reached out, caught him by the ankles, and prevented him from falling onto the field. He did scoop up the ball, and it was just a great moment between them. He actually gave the ball to his grandfather. His grandfather kept it till he passed away, and he actually willed it to Mike in his will. He wanted him to have that ball. So that was a great moment for him. But that most of the balls that he got at Major League stadiums were simply by heckling the outfielders. You know, as they kind of play catch before an inning starts out in the outfield, he would say, "Hey, throw us a ball, throw us a ball." And he had several of them that he had caught over the years at the Sky Dome that the players had just thrown into the stands. So Mike Lanzalotta promised this young boy, Derek Rodriguez, "I'm going to get you a ball." Now, he said, "No, only one caveat. If it's a home run ball, I get to keep it. I get to keep it because that's pretty rare." Now, the odds of this are pretty infinitesimal, but as you know, it actually did happen. And the only and how it happened was they did eventually get their loony dogs. Mike Lanzalotta's friend, Mr. Singh, went back to the concession stand. He was only going to get a couple of dogs, but he couldn't resist himself. They were so cheap. He got a whole box full, a cardboard box full. I think he got six loony dogs, brought the tray back to their seats, set it on the ground. And as they were kind of, you know, getting their hot dogs set up, that's when Judge hit that home run. And it actually, Mike Lanzalotta tried to catch it. It went through his hands, hit his buddy, Nigel Singh, in the cheek, and dropped into their tray of hot dogs. It did spill their beer, but the ball was dry. And so the hot dogs, the loony dogs, helped them to get the ball. Mike Lanzalotta picks up the ball. He kind of like raises his hand in tribe for a second. You can see this in the video. And then he remembers the kid. He remembers Derek Rodriguez. And that's when he immediately turns around, gives him the ball. They embrace, have a big hug. And the rest is history. And as he was hugging him, he said some words to him. And apparently he said, "Hey, one day when you grow up, you're going to have the chance to do this for a kid. And I want you to pay it forward. Promise me that you'll do that." And Derek Rodriguez said, "Yes, I absolutely will." So they thought that was the end of the story. Mike Lanzalotta, he gets up to go to the washroom, and everybody is waving at him, congratulating him. They didn't realize that this had gone sort of viral. It was not only on the Jumbotron in the infield entertainment, but on social media. This video was making the rounds already, even during the game. Reporters wanted to interview him and young Derek Rodriguez after the game. This just became a thing. It became a viral sensation, a feel-good moment. And both families were invited to sit behind the dugouts of their respective teams in the next night's game. And they actually got to meet Aaron Judge, which was really, really cool. And just one other thing, the Yankees also showed a lot of class. They gave Mike Lanzalotta, his friend Nigel Singh, and a bunch of other people tickets to a Yankees game in New York, where they actually sat in the Judge's chambers. That's that section of Yankee Stadium where people cheer, especially for Aaron Judge. They wear black Judge's robes and fun wigs and... yeah, they try to catch balls there. And so he actually got to go there. He was wearing his Blue Jays gear under his Judge's robe that they gave him. He was kind of worried about wearing his Jays gear in Yankee Stadium getting heckled. But he said, "Okay, I can wear the Judge's robe so I can cover it up." But he got so hot. It was in August. He actually took it off. And he was there with his daughter. And they tried to catch a foul ball. They missed it. It was caught by a young Yankees fan in the section above them. And this guy recognized Mike Lanzalotta, of course, from this viral moment in Toronto. And he came down to Mike Lanzalotta, to his section, and said, "I want you to have this ball. I caught it, but you deserve it because of what you did." So a little karma coming back to you. So love it. It's a great story by Ryan Hawkinsmith on ESPN.com. You can check it out. It's really cool, really one of the most heartwarming stories I've heard all year. Let's go to the phones right now. Otto is calling from Chicago. Hi, Otto.
Hey, how you doing, Patrick? Thanks for taking my call, and I love Relevant Radio.
Well, appreciate that. So, Patrick, took your call. You're on the air with Kale, and glad to have you. Glad you like Relevant Radio. That's awesome. So, what are your thoughts?
I wanted to make two points. They are sports points. They're not religious points, however. And I also want to preface what I'm saying by I cannot stand the fact that there was so much steroids and cheating in that era of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big Cubs fan, and it broke my heart when I finally saw the obvious that there were more than one person using steroids. But I want to make two points. One, Roger Maris. When Roger Maris had 61 home runs, he did not face a number of things that the current group or the group 25 years ago faced. Namely, Maris never had to fly coast to coast to play. He never had to play against the other league. He never had to see a cutter. He never had to see a screwball. He never had to play against and hit against the much, much larger group of international players that the fellas in the 90s faced, or that Aaron Judge faces today. So there were a number of things playing in Mr. Maris's favor. That's one. Two, in 98, no one in the world thought, or at least no one said a word about anything about HGH, anything about steroids, anything about cheating. And we, as of this time, and I know it wasn't on this station, but I've heard others say, Aaron Judge is doing this clean. We don't know that. No one knows.
Okay, well, let me jump in here, Otto. Well, first of all, thanks for the call, and thanks for your points. And good point, and this is one of those arguments that we could have all night long, whether the competition is more fierce today than it was back then. Obviously, more teams. But yes, the international talent pool, that's a great point. Having said that, yeah, I don't want to besmirch Aaron Judge, and there's no evidence that he is using performance enhancing drugs. There's as far as I know, no accusation has ever been leveled at him on that front. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt here, and hopefully that is the case. Hopefully he's doing this clean. He's certainly a heck of a player, heck of an athlete. And just before we go, and thanks for that call, Otto, I really appreciate that. Producer Jim did dig up an answer for Nicholas, who had called earlier asking about St. Michael being the one who brings our prayers to God. Where he thought he'd heard this in the Latin Mass liturgy somewhere. Well, Producer Jim found the text at the intercession of the blessed Michael the Archangel, who stands at the right hand of the altar of incense. May the Lord graciously accept this fragrant offering to his praise and glory. So that's where it comes from. How about that? You're a sleuth, Jim. Appreciate you. Jim produced. Patrick Alog took your calls. I'm Cale Clark. Thanks for joining me today. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.